So here's my pollution, evolution's influence on literature tonight. Not a very long one. I just wanted to share with you this idea that people write to, they normally don't write just to make money. They think maybe that'll be the end of it, but they write because they feel it is important to share what they have to say. Can you grasp that? They go through the process, the problem, the difficulty of being a writer. And in many cases, they are interested in sharing their ideas, which they feel are being overlooked or neglected or something. Evolution has made a big influence on people in a lot of ways, in first and secondary ways. There have been a number of people who've written about evolution in praise of it and in pushing it. But what I wanted to make you aware of is that some of the most famous people that you have read came through this era are actually pushing evolution. Not that that was their goal. It's that they were convinced. And they saw that a lot of people were not thinking consistently about this. So I mentioned tonight the novels of Jack London and James Michener, as well as the plays of George Bernard Shaw, based their stories on the evolution of humankind. This doesn't mean that they're bad stories. It doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't read them. I think reading some of these things can give you an idea of how people think, but you should be aware of this. You should be aware what it is that is behind their thinking. These authors teach evolution indirectly. This is the most persuasive way to deal with evolution, because they're not trying to prove it. Nobody reads Jack London or James Michener and says, I doubt his point about evolution there. He just assumes it to be true and tells the story as though it were true. So we have the danger of reading it unknowingly and accepting it as right. John Griffith Jack London, born John Griffith Cheney, like London, I guess, January 12th, 1876, November 22nd, 1916, was an American novelist and a journalist and a social activist. London's most famous novels are The Call of the Wild, White Fang, Sea Wolf, Iron Heel, and Martin Eden. I just recently picked up at a discount a book, a new publication of Call of the Wild and White Fang, put together, and I'm going to enjoy reading it, but I will know this. George Bernard Shaw, July 26, 1856 to November 2nd, 1950, was an Irish playwright, critic, and polemicist. I had to look that up. A polemic is contentious rhetoric intended to support a specific position by aggressive claims and undermining of the opposing position. So a person who writes polemically is called a polemicist. So that's what we mean, that he wrote with a strong edge to what he had to say. He wrote more than 60 plays, including major works such as Man and Superman, not the superhero, that was in 1902. Pygmalion, 1912. That was the basis for the My Fair Lady story and movie. And Saint Joan, speaking of Saint Joan of Arc, in 1923. With a range incorporating both contemporary satire and historical allegory, Shaw became the leading dramatist of his generation. In 1925, was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. Now, here's why they became who they were, why they wanted to write. What was that impulse to communicate? Both London and Shaw were English socialist. In the day, socialism was more against aristocracy than it was against capitalism. Capitalism was essentially unknown as a system. It was in America and was working out very well there, but they were still laboring under the problems of the aristocracy and class distinction in England. They were followers of the thinking of the Fabian Society. It's still in existence today, Fabian Society. It came into existence due to the work and effort of Beatrice and Sidney Webb. And the Webbs were followers in England of Karl Marx. Marxism was the socialist beginning of communism. Communism, holding all things in common, is just an advanced form of socialism. So they were pushing for political change. And that was the background, the thinking, the urge to make a difference. You hear so many people say, I got into journalism to make a difference. And what they mean is to change the way people think. Used to be that the newspaper reporter was to report news. Not anymore. Now it's to change the way people think and make them think like I think, which is so much better than what everybody else thinks. Both London and Shaw used their literary works to represent Marxian socialist views as most plausible, most probable, and to illustrate the struggle for existence concept. That's the struggle for existence. That's evolution. That's the dog-eat-dog, strongest-survive concept. London especially popularized the red tooth and claw phrase through the struggles in White Fang and the Call of the Wild. A story of a dog, so you can understand that. But the hero being a dog, it takes on the human characteristics. You see. In the late 1970s, Call of the Wild was dramatized on television. James Albert Michener, February 3rd, 1907 to October 16th, 1997, was an American author of more than 40 books, most of which were fictional, lengthy family sagas covering the lives of many generations in particular geographic locales. So he did the research that he was satisfied with about the historicity and the geographic development of certain areas. A lifelong promoter of the Democratic Party. He actually ran for office, failed miserably, but ran for office. I forget what it was, Congress or Senate. Michener accepted the standard liberal interpretation of life and science. Michener's novels include Tales of the South Pacific, for which he won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction in 1948, Hawaii, The Drifters, Centennial. He was living in Colorado, and Centennial was celebrating its 100th birthday. The Source, Fires of Spring, Chesapeake, Caribbean, Caravans, Alaska, Texas, and Poland. His Centennial is a prime example of misapplication of evolutionary history and geology in the early chapters. So again, I'm not saying these are not good literature in the sense of good writing. I am saying, understand that all writing is preaching. And one of the questions you want to ask is, what is the drum they're drumming? What is the theme they're thumbing? I don't know, whatever theme is, theming. And the idea is that they are telling you what to believe. And they're doing it indirectly when they're writing these stories, and you're carried away with the story of the person. So these are major people that most of us have heard of. I thought it was interesting. One young lady was introduced to Shaw, And he had that sharp wit about him. And so she showed a little bit of that same wit, because he was, as an evolutionist and a socialist, he was putting down most of the standard things that she believed in. And she said, how do you spell that, with an S or with a P? And when she said that, of course, P for Shaw would be when people say pshaw, you know, it's like, ha, phooey on that, you know. And so it seemed like that was his theme word, phooey on everything. I don't know where phooey came from, but something like that. Do you understand? That was my word when I was growing up, phooey. Ah, phooey. Had nothing to do with Chinese food. But. All right. You will recognize this in a lot of things. Brother Jeb and I both love to read fictional stories, science fiction and fantasy and so on. And he was saying that he's had to start reading something and then just put it away because he saw that the theme they were pushing was one of these strong liberal themes that, you know, you just didn't want to sit for that sermon. So you'll recognize it. You do much reading, especially of fictional writers. The factual writers kind of have to prove what they're saying. Fictional writers, they don't have to stoop to proof.